The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org.
Hello and welcome to KTQA Daily Briefing. My name's Becky. And I'm behind the mic today, just me. I hope everyone is doing well on this Tuesday, May 12th. Because I am. Although I may be thinking it's a Thursday or Friday or whatnot. It's been a busy day here at KTQA's remote home studio. We hope that you are doing well. Remember always that state-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 can get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Health Department officials are staffing the coronavirus Q&A line 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. And for interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also now text the coronavirus hotline at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit wa211.org online. We do have some state-level updates today. The State Department of Financial Institutions is asking the public to report suspected fraudulent COVID-19 investments offers by calling the agency toll-free at 1-877-RING-DFI. That is 1-877-746-4334 or via email at securities@dfi.wa.gov. Signs of possible scams include an investment offer with a guaranteed high return with little or no risk, a sense of urgency or limited availability of detailed information surrounding the investment, and offers by unregistered or unlicensed salespeople. Let's see. I have lost my place again. The Employment Securities Department asks if someone is using your personal information to claim unemployment benefits, you should report it by calling 800-246-9763 or emailing esdfraud@esd.wa.gov. The governor's office has released guidelines on how dine-in restaurants, bars, and taverns can resume business once counties reach phase two of reopening. Links to the memos are found at coronavirus.wa.gov in the news section. And just earlier today, Governor Inslee spoke to the press about the new statewide contact tracing plans, which are expected to be listed shortly at coronavirus.wa.gov. In King County, I know some of our listeners are up there in King County, and some of our Pierce County listeners may work and interact up there. The health department is making masks mandatory in most public places starting May 18th. Children and people with disabilities won't be required to mask up, and those exercising outdoors aren't required to wear a mask as long as social distancing is adhered to. There's no legal penalty for breaking the mask directive, but businesses do have the right to refuse service to individuals not wearing a face covering. Thousands of free face coverings will be provided to homeless and low-income individuals, and masks will be mandatory on King County Metro. Also in King County, free COVID-19 drive-through testing will be available in Seattle at T-Mobile Park tomorrow and Thursday, May 13th and 14th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Advance online registration is required at krogerhealth.com/COVID testing or by calling 1-888-852-2567. Select option 1 and then select option 3. Closer to home, in Pierce County, the Pierce County Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program is now open for low-income seniors to apply for vouchers to obtain locally grown fruits, vegetables, honey, and herbs. Applicants should call the Aging and Disability Resource Center at 253-798-4600 or apply online at piercecountywa.gov/farmersmarket. Candidates planning to run for office in 2020 must file this week by May 15th and may do so remotely. For more information, visit piercecountyelections.org or call 253-798-VOTE. That's 253-798-8683. I'm really excited about this next announcement because I think it'll be the one that tickles me the most that I've ever read on KTQA Daily Briefing, and that is that potato farmers will be giving away bags of potatoes at the Tacoma Dome on Thursday. Recipients are granted bags on a first-come, first-served basis, starting at 11 a.m. in the Tacoma Dome's G and F parking lots. Bags will be loaded by volunteers directly into vehicles. Local food banks can pick up whole pallets of potatoes by calling the State Potato Commission at 509-765-8845 or by emailing office@potatoes.com. I just think that's really cool that there's a potatoes.com. I'd like my own email to, you know, I don't know, have something that cool and useful and tasty. Tacoma's emergency micro shelter site at 8th and MLK is expected to be relocated to a property at 60th and McKinley that's owned by the Tacoma Housing Authority. Clients residing at the current temporary site will have the opportunity to transition to the new location, and referrals to the new site will mostly come from encampments and existing shelters that need to employ social distancing measures recommended by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. More info can be found at cityoftacoma.org/homelessness. I think that's all the briefs that I've got for today. I'm really interested to see what a potato giveaway might look like at the Tacoma Dome, because I'm just, again, tickled by the headlines of, you know, 200,000 pounds of potatoes being offloaded to folks in need. And one, that's super cool. Two, how much potato is that? Is that, I'm just imagining the Tacoma Dome filled with potatoes. So if you do show up, please snap some photos or something, send it our way. You know, we get emails here at daily@ktqa.org. I'm hoping that folks can make good use of that because, well, I haven't been ordering out or going to bars and having too many French fries. So I guess that there is a surplus of potatoes. But that's kind of where I've got all of our briefs for today. Remember that you can find any of those briefs shortly at daily.ktqa.org, or you can give us a call if you missed any of that information and want us to repeat it. You can give us a call at 253-330-8821. You can also text that. Dialing 211 will get you statewide community resources, and dialing 311 will connect you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. And now I'd like to go on to our interview, but it looks like I'm having a little bit of trouble having it be played. So I'm going to stall for a little bit while I get some technical assistance from Sam. I do hope that you're enjoying KTQA Daily Briefing in order to make sure that, you know, we've got, whatever we might want and need here at KTQA. We do allow for folks to, you know, be able to contact us. I was excited yesterday to be working with Sam to be on the Facebook Live account for Hilltop Action Coalition. So that was definitely something really nice and pretty cool. If you want to go check out what that discussion was like, you can go to the Hilltop Action Coalition's Facebook group. I was able to speak with Brendan Nelson, and we had interviewed Brendan last week, and it was pretty fun discussion, pretty cool discussion, really neat ways to be sharing things. Without further ado, we've got an interview. I'm so excited today to be speaking with Marilyn Kimmerling. She is a longtime activist, a raging granny. She's the president of KTQA's sister station, Radio Tacoma, and she was just awarded the Greater Tacoma Peace Prize as our city's 2020 Peace Laureate. Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you. Thank you, Becky.
So you have been a founder or a member of so many groups advocating for peace and justice. Can you tell me maybe some of those that you're particularly proud of?
Oh, well, that's a little difficult because I'd have to pick some over others. It's kind of all or none, I guess.
All right. How about some that you have been involved with maybe in the last 3 years or so?
Okay. Let's see. I continue with the Raging Grannies, as you mentioned. And that's a fabulous group of women of a certain age, as they used to say in the days of old. You don't have to be a biological parent or a mother. But the theory behind that is that everybody's got a grandmother, and grandmothers tend to be seen as non-threatening. So we get together and we write new words to very familiar tunes that speak truth to power. So that's one group. And then Radio Tacoma, of course, has a special place in my heart. And that's at 101.9 FM. It's low-powered FM radio. And as you said, we're a sister station with KTQA. That's been more important than ever now, I think, during the COVID crisis. And when we realized that so many of the chain stations don't broadcast local news. So that's important. And Veterans for Peace is a national organization. It's been going since the Vietnam War, I do believe. And I am not a veteran. I'm an associate member. And the reason why I'm a member is the mission of Veterans for Peace is to find nonviolent solutions to conflict. And if anybody is going to be taken seriously and listened to, it's veterans. So I'm a member of that because I want to lend my strength to that. The other organization is Jewish Voice for Peace. And that was started because our politicians have a tendency to believe that the Jewish vote is a block vote, and that by definition, we would support anything that the state of Israel does, and that is not true. We are appalled at what the state of Israel is doing to the Palestinian people. And so we formed to be able to advocate once again for peaceful solutions, because the situation in Palestine is dire, the overcrowding and the lack of resources that they have there. We have to, as Jewish people, speak up when we see injustice. And we are now large enough that the government is recognizing us. And I'm very involved in trying to ward off the worst effects of climate change. So I've been active environmentally, both with 350 Tacoma, as well as with the tribes.
I think I want to dig in a little bit more about your environmental activism, because since my, you know, history of knowing you, that was one of the things that really I encountered when first, you know, seeing your activism. You were involved in actually a civil disobedience protest that ended up with some arrests and then acquittals. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. A group that I was involved with called Tacoma Direct Action had been trying, oh my gosh, we had been speaking at city council, we had been speaking at county council, we'd been going down to Port of Tacoma meetings, we had been writing letters, we had been doing everything we could. And at that time, not everybody knew about Puget Sound Energy's plan to build the LNG, that's liquefied natural gas, facility. It's kind of a refinery / facility in the tide flats. And so we decided that in order to get the word out, we needed to do something that was direct action. And six of us decided to go down on May 17th, 2017 to where they were just beginning work on the LNG plant. And at the time, they were only at the point where they were drilling giant augers into the landfill to begin building. And six of us went down and we chained ourselves to the auger, knowing that we would be arrested. But we figured that was the only way to really get the word out about what was going on down there and what the risk was to not just Tacoma, but to the whole Puget Sound region, and that it was a treaty violation. And that this thing that they were building was going to put out under normal operations benzene and many toxic pollutants into an area where people are already at risk because of fouled air in Tacoma, because of our heavy industry. So we went down there, and I was 67 at the time, and I dragged my little folding chair because I knew that I wouldn't be able to stand for hours and hours, and we chained up, and we locked down, and we waited. And they did arrest us, and we spent 2 days and a night at Pierce County Jail. And then two of us, the two older people who were already retired, had the luxury of being able to take that to court. The other four were younger people who had school and had work that they couldn't miss. And so Cynthia Lynette, who lives in Seattle, and myself went to court for this. The long of the short of it is the jury acquitted us on all counts because the city did not make a clear case that they owned the property and not the Puyallup tribe. And if they hadn't made a clear case, then it wasn't necessarily true that we were resisting arrest, which, by the way, we did very peacefully. We didn't resist. But if the land was owned by the Puyallup tribe, then the Tacoma police had no business there. It should have been tribal police. And if we were invited onto the land by the Puyallups, which we weren't trespassing. So the jury acquitted us. And I actually had one woman who found me on Facebook and thanked me. One of the jurors thanked me for what I did because she had not known about it ahead of time. And she felt that she had become educated and she was concerned.
Neat way to bring up that knowledge and awareness, and especially using the various circumstances of our own lives or privileges to protect others that may not have that capability, and then bring that awareness. Are there other kinds of issues that resonate with you right now that you're working actively with?
Oh, let's see. Well, certainly the homelessness issue. I have not been as active in that as I might have been because I feel like there are a lot of people that are doing that work very successfully, but I lend my support to that.
You know, all of these things, I guess, build this story behind someone who is named the Peace Laureate. Can you talk a little bit about the Greater Tacoma Peace Prize? What's the story behind that prize, and what does it mean to be named the laureate?
It's the Greater Tacoma Peace Prize. It was started, I believe, by the Sons of Norway. And there is a committee that awards the prize every year. And they look for somebody who has done pretty much lifelong work toward peace and justice. Last year, I believe, was Willie Stewart. You might have to check that.
I think you're right. He's been really instrumental in supporting the education of kids who may not be on track to graduate.
Right. And my friend Nancy nominated me, and I really love her. But I told her, you know, in a way, I feel pretty uncomfortable about the prize because I feel like so many people here in Tacoma are doing so much now. The people down at 350, the people that are working on the homeless coalition. I can think of a number of people just off the bat that deserve the prize, certainly as much as I do. But then Nancy convinced me, and then when I've seen the response of people, I realize, you know, we all are doing the work together, yes. But this gives hope to everybody that, especially in the climate area, that their work is being acknowledged and not ignored. People are so happy that somebody that's worked on environmental issues is being recognized rather than being ignored or laughed at or discounted.
I imagine that as someone who is not a stranger to activism, you might have encountered some of that laughter sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
How do you interface with that of folks that, you know, maybe do ignore what your issues are or don't take you seriously?
You know, it's been very, very interesting to watch different people's reactions, both within the community that I work with and to people in power, quote power, such as city council. Some activists respond in anger, and it tends to even, I don't know, in my opinion, it seems to marginalize them more. I think when you respond in a dismissive way back, you close doors.
Do you have other advice for folks who see injustice but might feel powerless or might not think that they have a voice or a way to have their issue be heard?
I have a lot of advice. So here goes.
Well, give us your best.
Okay. First of all, you have to find the commonality between yourself and the other person, because that gives you an opening. You have to realize that you're in it for the long haul, that this is not a dash. It really is a marathon. Sometimes you have to hand the baton off to somebody else for a while, because it can be exhausting, and sometimes you need to take a break. But you have to realize the humanity in the other person, because if you don't, they're not going to recognize the humanity in you, and they won't listen. That's why the grannies are relatively successful, because they use humor and nostalgia to get through the barriers and connect with people. And as far as the environmental work, I have learned so much from the Puyallup Nation because of the way that they express themselves. They are incredibly respectful, and I appreciate that, and I think it's effective. The question is, though, Becky, always, how much time do we have when it comes to climate? Because things are so dire now that it feels so urgent, it's hard to be patient.
In your long history of activism, I'm sure that you've seen some things that you've had to be patient about. What do you feel is a thing that gives you hope that you've been active about and advocating for in your personal history?
Oh, that's a deep question. Well, I'm going to point to the environment again. Back when I picketed Smelter for the first Earth Day, people thought I was wacko. But the smelter came down. When I picketed the SatSop site, people thought we were crazy. But people got together and they succeeded in stopping that plant from being built. People initially thought we were crazy about the PSE thing. And I think eventually we will be successful. We do succeed if we keep at it and we connect with others to do the work, because one person can't do it. It's about the power of people together who stay on task. For instance, I am not a good researcher, but there are people that I work with that are. We lend our strength to each other.
Well, Marilyn, if there's folks that want to lend their strengths to something that they feel passionate about, where do you think is a good place to start?
I would say, if they want to work on housing the houseless, the Tacoma Housing Alliance, they were meeting every Friday. If they're interested in the environment and climate change, certainly 350 Tacoma is a hub of activity. If they're younger, they can get involved in the Sunrise Movement. And these are all online. There are many volunteer opportunities right now during the COVID crisis. One of my favorites is Eloise's Cooking Pot, but there are certainly places where they can volunteer either to deliver groceries or to donate. And then if there's any capacity that they've got to raise a garden and both be able to eat more healthily for their own health and to donate to people in need, there's the Food is Free project, and that's fabulous. They can also start their own garden. They can get involved in a community garden. It's not too late. All of these things, donate to people who need the food.
Marilyn, I think that that gives us a wealth of avenues to pursue, regardless of whatever we might feel passionate about.
I got to tell you the story of Nancy Farrell, because she is a wonder. She decided about 5 years ago that I should get the Peace Prize and started nominating me. And she nominated me every year. And she is about 85 years old. She's just an incredible woman. And she is so determined, and she would not give up. I would tell her, Nancy, I'm never going to get this thing. Give it up. And she would not stop. So she did it until it happened. And that's an example of activism, too. She is just an amazing human being. Thank you, Nancy.
Well, whether it's advocating for issues or advocating for our earth or advocating for our peers and loved ones, I think that there's a way that each of us can get involved. And I just thank you for joining me on KTQA Daily Briefing.
You bet.
Marilyn Kimmerling is a longtime activist, a raging granny, the president of KTQA's sister station, Radio Tacoma, and spoke with me today after having been awarded the Greater Tacoma Peace Prize. Dial 311 for the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. Dial 211 for statewide community resources. Our email address here is daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number is 253-330-8821. Call us or text us. See you guys tomorrow.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.